Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This is often called the giving season, but that part of the holidays may be lost on kids who are more focused on the getting. And that's normal, says Ron Lieber, author of The Opposite of Spoiled, Raising Kids Who Are Grounded, Generous, and Smart About Money. He says parents can give their kids and other children in their circle the gift of generosity. He outlined how in a recent Your Money column in the New York Times. Welcome, Ron. Happy holidays.
To you, too.
And it is the season. This year's opportunity to give charitable donations and get a deduction this year ends at the end of this week. But I'm imagining that's not the incentive you want people to teach kids.
No, I think we're all trying to imprint the value and the trait of generosity on any children in our orbit. And because this is the time of year when most grown-ups are thinking about it and doing it and giving money themselves, it's a great opportunity to start getting in the habit of talking about it with those kids.
Right. And giving for reasons other than your tax deduction. So let's get started. First of all, what age are you talking about to start talking to kids about philanthropy?
Oh, I think you can start as early as 3, 4, 5. You know, at that age, kids begin to become in tune with needs of other people around them, whether it's people that they know who may be suffering in some way, shape, or form, or strangers who they see on the street. They will begin to ask questions. Those questions will be uncomfortable, and we want to take our best shot at trying to answer them and making them feel better.
Right. Well, and you talk about you were having a conversation with your 8-year-old, and you were talking about donations and wondering, was there anything we left out? And there was. You know, they had an opinion.
We did start the conversation with our 8-year-old about how we give money in our household, and we wanted to share that information with her so that she understood how we were dividing our charitable budget. And it turns out that she saw something that was important to her that we had left out.
Her camp.
Exactly. She wanted to make sure if there were kids who were not able to afford to pay the tuition, that there would be money there for kids like that. Those kids would still be able to go.
Well, you say start with a family history of how the family's been helped. Talk more about that.
Sure. Every family has a history of having been helped somewhere along the way. My family's history includes me having been on financial aid in middle school and high school and college. My mother is a survivor of premenopausal breast cancer. My wife is the granddaughter of Holocaust survivors. All along the way, people have thrown the rope back for us. And so those are the stories that we tell to our older daughter so that she understands why we are moved to give ourselves.
And I was thinking, Ron, that this might be an especially important conversation in families that don't have a lot. Whatever you have, maybe there's a small amount you can have a child give so that there's less shame attached. You know, when they see that there are other people who need help in the way that family might be getting help, that will make them understand they're not the only ones.
I think that's true. You know, we're all part of a variety of communities, and in any and every way that we can attempt to cement that fact in our kids' hands and our heads, that you know we're all reaching out our hands to help one another, I think the more opportunity we can take like that, the better.
Well, you also propose what you call a charitable pie. You touched on this a little bit, a family conversation where you literally, maybe even with a pie chart or a bunch of beans, you talk about how you're going to divide up money.
So here's how that starts, right? You sit down and you say, for every $100 that our family gives away, this is how we divide it. And you take 100 beans or 100 jelly beans, black beans, whatever you want to do. You divide them into piles and you say, okay, for every $100 we give away, you know, $22 goes to our church and another 13 goes to the school and 15 goes to the homeless shelter and 10 to the food bank. And once you start dividing those piles, you'll see by their size that there are relatively good approximation of what your family seems to care about most. And if you don't like the size of the piles or if something's missing, then that ought to tell you something too.
And you change it. We're going to move on to finding a cause, which can be so much fun, different ways to do it. But how much do you tell people when you say give $100 away? I know kids whose eyes would fly open at that. What? We have $100 to give away? How much do you tell kids about what the family income is and what the money is?
Well, quite often the conversations about giving will lead to bigger questions about what you have and how you got it and how much is enough. And, you know, the younger kids, they're often not ready to deal with the bigger number, either because they don't have the math skills or they don't have the context about what it takes to run your household and its budget each month and each year. So the right answer to kids who are inquisitive about that is just to say that we have every intention, or I have every intention, of sharing that information with you one day, maybe late in your teenage years. But right now, you don't know enough about all of the things that we spend money on for that information to make any sense. But someday I'm going to tell you.
Okay. Then you go to finding a cause. Tick off some of the ways.
Well, quite often children, and increasingly younger children, will have a sort of burning desire to help someone or to do something for a group of people. And you can take that instinct and follow it to its logical conclusion by doing research about sort of cost-effective charities that are doing great work and having impact. But if you're sort of at a loss, one thing you might do is call your local community foundation and asking a program officer there for help. Often that program officer will take you on a tour and show you organizations and neighborhoods that are in need. But even if you're not, they may point you in a direction of organizations where your dollars could be put to good use.
Well, this might be a great eye-opener for kids to go actually see nonprofits at work. But as you write, you got to be careful. This isn't poverty tourism. They're not gawking at the other.
No, not at all. One reason to bring a professional into the conversation is to make sure that you are being respectful. But one great outcome that can come from visiting places is that you begin to establish relationships with people and organizations that will, lead you to become not just a giver of money, but a giver of time and talent, a volunteer, who can help over many years and not just with a single check.
Yeah. Now, you list some of the different ways that people are trying to find places to give and trying to decide how to give. And one of them, we're actually going to follow. This is the Brandeis School of San Francisco. It is a Jewish studies curriculum. And these kids collect money over the course of the year. So we're going to see what they do with their money in a couple months. But you can speak to your own school about doing something, or you can do something called a giving circle. Talk about that.
A giving circle is just a group of people that all decide to get together and give collectively by consensus. And so what many parents are doing with their kids is that they're helping organize giving circles for them. There's a group of Asian American kids in Texas who are doing this to try and fill some of the funding gaps in Asian American nonprofits. And there's a group of boys, actually, who are doing this here in New York City. Their parents thought it would be a good idea to do a single gender group, given the number of complications that can come up sometimes when there are mixed gender middle school groupings. So parents are finding ways to put this together on their own, even if their school doesn't have the wherewithal or the resources to do it themselves.
It doesn't have to be a lot. I mean, if kids get together and decide $25 between them, that's a lot to a kid.
Right. And it's a lot to a kid, but, you can do it with grown-ups, too. You can make it part of your, dinner parties. You can make it part of your New Year's Eve gathering. You can stop and talk about the things that are most important to you, and everybody throws $20 into a hat, and you draw lots, and, the person whose cause gets picked, the money all goes to that cause.
And maybe if you're going to do that as adults, include the kids, and then their money goes a little further. But, okay, so the last thing that you talk about is sharing this. Because culturally, we don't like to talk about money. A lot of people keep this to themselves. You say no, share it, talk about it on social media, inspire other people. But when, and this is, we're talking about kids, getting kids, your kids to do this. When are you sharing this great thing, and when are you bragging?
Well, it's a fine line here, because a lot of the grown-up sharing on social media, particularly the sharing about one's children, tends to cross over the line into bragging pretty quickly. And we all have sort of different levels of taste and appreciation for that. So some of the experts I talked to suggested a different twist, right? What if it is the kids who are doing the sharing themselves? Middle school and high school kids have a certain amount of access to social media and the ability to share. So maybe if they talk about the giving they're doing, it will sound a little bit less like bragging and perhaps more like something that will inspire others to pipe in and say, yeah, my family gave to this, or it'll give a third and a fourth child an idea or an opportunity to bring that up in conversation with their families themselves.
What is it they say? Attraction rather than promotion. Talk about what you're doing instead of bragging about it. That's Ron Lieber, author of The Opposite of Spoiled, Raising Kids Who Are Grounded, Generous, and Smart About Money. And we've been talking to him about his recent Your Money column in the New York Times, giving the gift of generosity to your kids by having them think about giving away. Ron, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And we mentioned the Brandeis School, where parents contribute to a pool money they would have spent on bat and bar mitzvah gifts. Then the kids interview charities over the year. In the spring, they'll decide how to give that money out. We will check in then.